God, continuing to look in Ephesians 4, really important part of what God is now doing, restoring ministry in his headship, restoring the fivefold ministry. And we'll just read this a couple of verses in Ephesians. We've been looking at the fact of the significance of Christ's ascension in our lives. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also fell, the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Praise God. And this is where we're going to take it up this evening. Glory to God. The restoration, fivefold ministry, apostolic faith. We've been looking at Christ's ascension. And in a sense, we're going to continue with that. Because I want to begin now to open up what is an apostle's ministry, what is the apostolic authority. Now, as we look at this, we're going to see it's done into and through the apostles in a sense of a principle. He does. There are some unique features about the apostles' ministry, but if he's doing it through an apostle, he's giving it to the church. So I want to make that clear, and or his ministry. This is about the glory of God seen through the entire assembly, the entire body of Christ. And we're all, in a sense, being restored to apostolic faith. Every single one of us is going to experience apostolic faith in this end time. And you know how you're going to be part of this. You may ask, well, we're not all apostles, so what do you mean? And that's true, we're not all apostles. But what do you mean then? We're all going to experience apostolic faith. The greater works, the latter rain anointing, that end time army, Elijah ministry, call it what you will, Gideon's army, is going to consist of those who have been trained under the fivefold leadership, and they have apostolic faith. They have a complete faith. They have a deliverance ministry. Is a ministry of deliverance. It's the understanding that one has been sent. And you say to me, right, well, okay, praise the Lord. How do I know that I'm going to qualify for that experience? How do I know? Because my life at the moment seems to be a mess. I'm failing in basic areas. I know there's things that God is dealing with in my life. How do I know I'm going to be part of what God is showing, what God is encouraging, challenging. Okay, here's the question. Praise God. I trust this will once and for all help each one of us to settle, to believe, to trust God, that no matter what you're going through at the moment, if you'll stay with this, that you will experience it. And here are some questions you can ask that you will know. And this is our chance to be truly, to be real before God, to be honest. Because we're doing ourselves no favours if we say, yes, this is me, simply because this is how we want it. But if it's a genuine thing, then we can truly rejoice tonight. Because this comes out of relationship. It's not trying to be important, not trying to be part of something, but out of our love for God and to honour him. Today, right, this is how you know you're going to be part of it. Today, crucified with Christ. Are you being crucified with Christ today? Are you being cleansed? Are you experiencing the hand of God upon your life, cleansing, breaking, removing those things that are not of Christ in your life? Be honest. Are you being humbled and exposed, all those wrong spirits, wrong attitudes within you, and you are proper being dealt with so that there's none of you and all of Jesus? But do you know that? Do you actually know where God is challenging those things within you that are not of his Son? Every time you approach God, there's like a fire. Old Isaiah, do you remember Isaiah? Praise God. Before he had that experience with the seraphim, he was poisoned. Well, he was a prophet. Woe to the Assyrians, woe to the Babylonians, woe to you, woe to him, woe to that. And when God met him, woe to me. It's me, my lips are unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm surrounded by people who are unclean. Now the seraphim, when the seraphim grabbed hold of those coals, he used tongs. He didn't touch the coals. That's significant. It's too hot. But poor old Isaiah, he got them direct on his lips. God is dealing with those he's going to use. And if you're experiencing that, then you are learning by experience that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness. Our warfare is spiritual. And if you're by experience, then praise God, that's a sure sign that you're being trained for this apostolic ministry, this apostolic faith and authority. Because by the time God has got hold with you and I, what we say will come to pass. At the sound of our voice, Satan and every spirit under his command will tremble. Because it's that authority in the name of Jesus doing the speaking. Now to be trusted with that, now let me say this, all who are hearing this will experience it. Because to be trusted with that, we've got to submit to the refining fires necessary ministry. Now if you're willing to submit, that's another good sign. But if you're resisting your trials, if your heart is hardened because of what you're going through and you just do not like the way God works the cross in your life, and you react every time somebody teases you for going to church or whatever it would be, if you react every time somebody remarks upon your hairstyle, or, you know, I'm being a little bit facetious, but it doesn't take much to upset some people, does it? If there's a reaction every time somebody says something that you don't like, then get before God and seriously ask him, what is he saying? Lord, what are you saying? Because I thought I was an overcomer. I've been calling myself an overcomer, and here I am getting upset about trivial things. Condemned by that, this is an opportunity, because God is cleansing his church. And I speak that to myself. The Lord's speaking that to me. I have no guarantees, simply because at the present time, God is blessing me with the privilege of being a teacher in the body of Christ. That's not my guarantee. We all have a walk before God. This is why we're calling it less words and more experience. Because we can call ourselves what we like. We can say what we like about ourselves just because that's how we want it. But are we experiencing the hand of Almighty God cleansing, purging through our faith in the blood of Jesus? Are we today truly being crucified with Christ? That is the test, dear friends. I trust we can say yes, amen to that. Praise God. Praise God. These are serious things that we're dealing with. We're part of an army. And unless we can move as one, you know, the Holy Spirit, we are going to get in the way of the person next to us. Praise God. That's part of the apostolic authority. No independence. There's no loose cannons around here, friends. We're moving as one body. This is the uniqueness. That as one man, the entire body is being used as the Spirit leads. Total submission. Total walking. Yielded, surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Nothing of I in it. Only of Him. And God is doing that. This is why we labour in the Word. This is why the Lord's showing us the cross. And this is why we're going through our trials. Are we finding God's hand upon our lives? Prayer, fasting, travailing in the Spirit. Not the intellect. Not the theologians only. Not the intellect. Not the occasional Bible reading. But that Word reproducing is the Word reproducing the life of Christ in our life. It's all gone serious. The life of Christ, our lives changing by the Spirit to conform to His as He ministers that Word to us. And we're finding ourselves like Jesus said in Luke 18, wasn't it, like that, giving the parable of the widow there. With the bride of Christ, how can be a widow? Well, he's talking about prevailing prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And if we're finding that our prayers just aren't, for some reason, there seems to be a satanic oppression, or we're desperate in breakthrough, well, okay. We miss a few meals. We stay up all night, one night, as the Lord, yes, as the Lord leads, the Holy Spirit. But how much do you want it? How desperate are you? This kind cometh not out, Jesus said, but by prayer and fasting. And we're believing for a deliverance ministry, and yet somehow we seem reluctant to do anything except have an ordinary life, three square meals a day, round and round on our merry-go-round. Praise God. Stability. That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. Rest in the Lord. Thank God for the daily provision He's making each day. But God is preparing a people, is what I'm saying. And the Word, this seed of this Word going into our heart, we're going to find ourselves, by the Spirit, beginning to press in ways that up till now we have not fully experienced. God is working. This is restoration. And by His Spirit, He's producing a faith in our hearts that will not take no for an answer. That's apostolic faith, friends. It's kingdom faith. It is a kingdom of violent faith, like do not take no for an answer. And some of us have been living like Esau, concerned about the flesh. And God is raising up those Jacobs who will wrestle with Him, will not take no for an answer. I will not let you go until you bless me. And that may mean we miss a meal or two. It may mean we miss a night's sleep. But the Spirit will lead. Because a couple of weeks ago in that Sunday prayer meeting, are you aware of what happened? Are you aware of what actually happened spiritually? I wonder if we are. Something began Something was set in motion in the spiritual realm. A binding and a loosing, some keys were used to open the kingdom of heaven to this assembly and to those we're praying for. Healing was loosed. Deliverance was loosed. A church was planted. Things were loosed in the spiritual realm. Apostolic authority was loosed. Lands were loosed to the overcomers. Some keys were used in the spiritual realm in the name of Jesus to begin to open doors in our lives and ministry. Now, is that the last we're ever going to see of that, or will there be more of those occasions? Has there something happened within our spirit like that, just like the analogy Jesus said of that widow who wouldn't give up, and God honoured that in the end, deliver me from my adversary. Because at the moment, God has allowed the enemy to hinder. There are things that we should be experiencing that we're not, and he's testing. Is that okay with us, that we're being robbed? Is it alright? Happy with the way things are? You okay that you've just been robbed blind? Oh well, whatever. Turn over under your duvet and go back to sleep. Whatever, too tired, can't be bothered. It wasn't mine anyway. It was a gift. Is that how we view it? Just because it's a free gift, is it that cheap, really? Or is our love for Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the price he paid to give us these things, is there a spirit within us that, by the Holy Spirit, that will press in and make them ours for his glory? Now, look how Elijah did it. We're not saying that we should be like the prophets of Baal, get all upset and cut ourselves and leap about on the altar. That's flesh. Those are the works of the flesh. What was Elijah? He spoke that word of authority out of his relationship to Yahweh. He knew because he'd done those things at his work, God's word. He'd done those things in obedience and out of his relationship to his God as his servant. Spoke that into being. And that's going to do through you and I those greater works. Now, we've got to be trained for that. We've got to be prepared for that. And flesh cannot crucify flesh. As we receive this word, the seed of this word will bear fruit in time. Because that is what God is doing. There we go. Praise the Lord. That is the foundation of the apostolic authority. We're going to look at this now as we go through various scriptures. Praise God. Now, if some of this is new or unfamiliar to you, what is this man talking about? Remember this is a word that God has been laying the foundation, certainly in my life, for 30 years. So there's no way in the time available now to go back and explain it all. Right, but if you do have questions, then praise the Lord, at the end, and we can also refer you to the years, the decades of teaching that we've received by God's grace, that's, you know, the foundation that's been laid. So bear with us, 40 minutes or so, is it 50 minutes, and then we'll, if you need to, if God hasn't already answered your questions through the message, which he often does, then at the end we're available. Praise God. And there is a website available as well. The address, no doubt, will be put up there shortly. Yes, so all the messages are recorded. So, apostolic authority, then. Let's get specific. What is that apostolic authority? Praise God. Well, the first is that we need to know we're sent. A lot of people have said to me, as you turn to Matthew 28, we'll start with that, if you will. Praise God. This is what separates, really, the men from the boys. I did wonder at first why the Lord, not questioned the Lord, but sort of thought, that's interesting, less words and more experience. Why are we calling it this? Matthew 28, we'll start with verse 16. Matthew 28, We'll start with verse 16. We're looking at apostolic authority within these teachings. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus appointed for them. Praise God. They kept that appointment. They'd met with the Lord. This is the first thing we have to look at. It is an encounter, it's a life-changing encounter with the risen Christ. They saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Okay, but yet Jesus worked with that, didn't he? He removed that. Specifically refers in other places to Thomas, doesn't it? And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. These apostles were eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection and ascension. In fact, of his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. They were eyewitnesses. They had a specific encounter with the risen Christ and were sent out with the authority of his name. We just read it there. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore. Now you can read that and think, well, if John 3:16 applies to me, so does this. I'm going to go. Okay. But they sat under his ministry. They were prepared by him, by the Holy Spirit, for him and by the Spirit. There was a specific time in which they were sent. That is their authority. To go in someone's name is to go to do that person's will, to go with the authority of that person. In the name of Jesus is not a formula. When we pray in the name of Jesus, when we lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, when we cast out demons in the name of Jesus, when we pray or speak a word in the name of Jesus, it's not a formula to try and get something done. It's because, according to Psalm 9, let's have a look there, we know that name. We understand the authority in that name. We know who and what that name represents. We have had a revelation of his name. This is where it starts. And we'll start with verse 9. So we're looking at Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So we're going through our trials, we're going through our tests, we've learnt by experience that his name is that fortress in which we're safe. We know his name, therefore we trust him, and we know that he will not forsake those who seek him. But we know that. Now his name carries all authority in the courts of heaven. When we speak his name, the Father honours that faith. Acts 3:16, we looked at it last time, Acts 3:16. His name, through faith in his name, speaking of Jesus, has made this man perfectly well, perfectly whole. Raised up a man who for 40 years from his birth, totally disabled, sat at the gate begging, the gate of the temple begging. And one word from Peter, he rose up. Now, it's through faith in his name. It's his name through faith in his name. It's authority. I don't know what kind of power, in the feeling sense, was working through Peter at that time. But his faith in that name, because he knew his Lord, through that apostolic authority, well, you can believe there was power, don't you? Because even through the least bit of his shadow, that anointing, the sick were healed. There was something in that man as well, that faith he was expecting to receive. He thought it was going to be alms, wasn't it, like some monetary thing. But he was expecting to receive something from them. Praise God, rise up and walk. He knew the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He knew what that meant. And in that authority, in that faith, that man was raised up. Praise God. Now, all authority, Jesus said, has been given to me. I'm now sending you out with that authority. In that authority, I'm sending you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But we've got to get a revelation of that authority, of that name. Because he's told us to teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Well, there's a responsibility, if you like. So this is why we're preparing. This is why we're learning. So many have said to me, this preparation, go ye therefore. Well, it's all of God's grace. I know I've said this before. It's taken all of God's grace for me not to say to those persons, well, go ye then. If you think you know what you're doing, go. I'm not stopping you. You know, but in love, praise God, I didn't. Hallelujah. The stuff we've got to learn, earthen vessels of being cleansed, being purified, so that when we speak with that authority, we know what it means. Solomon said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know that refers to their response to your message will pronounce death or life over their lives. Isn't it? We're just speaking what we know to be true. That Jesus, God in flesh, died in our behalf. You can receive forgiveness of sins. His blood cleanses you from sin. He died in your place. And he rose again from the dead. You can receive forgiveness. Not for me, no thanks, not today, I'm busy. I've got a life to live. I've got a business to run. I've got too much going on in my life to start going to church now. This is an awesome thing that we're dealing with. And on their response to your word, that authority, the keys of the kingdom, which we'll look at in a minute, you, not because out of anything you are, but the gospel, you have used the key to close or open the door to heaven to that person. That is authority, and that's what we're learning. Let's have a look at that in Matthew 16. We're beginning to see now why God is working with us like he is, the preparation of what he's restoring. The early church walked in this. Not just the Apostle Paul, but the whole church walked in this for the first 200 to 300 years of their existence, till they lost the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there's always been a remnant that the Spirit has stayed with, but praise God, another sermon. Let's look at Matthew 16. Praise God. We'll start with verse 13. Matthew 16. So let's keep in mind what we've just been looking at. See, because even when the apostles were given that authority, there was an occasion where they still failed, isn't it? They were given authority to cast out all demons, and yet we're told there was one they couldn't cure, that epileptic boy, they couldn't cure him. And so they had to ask, and that must have been a humbling experience. So shamefacedly, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? Because of your unbelief. Howbeit, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Now, let's just set that forth. How serious are we about experiencing these things? I'm not here to tell anyone to pray and fast and you'll experience it, but if we have a deliverance ministry, that's something we need to know. And God, by his Spirit, not us getting all worked up, by his Spirit, he will provide, he will work that through us. He will remove the unbelief, he'll give us a consecration that the devil will acknowledge, that the Father will honour, the devil will acknowledge, and the demons will not stand before you. Praise God, hopefully me as well, that's, you know, all of us. The enemy will not stand before us because of our faith in the name of Jesus. Because God has brought us, we've risen to that place in the Spirit by yielding to the training of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's have a look at this. Do we know what authority is? Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" So in order to answer that, they got to know him, haven't they? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And he commanded his disciples they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Not yet. The time is not yet. Let's have a look at some of this. The first thing is Jesus is in a sense, he's testing them. He wants to know what they know of him. Not what the popular rumour is, what some people say about him, which is what we've got today, isn't it? Just all kinds of things are being said about Jesus. But what do we say about him? Who is he to us? What do we know? And Simon Peter, that's where it starts. The Father revealed to him who this person is that he's been walking with. He saw his holy life. I mean, the miracles that were working through. But not just the miracles, from the depths of his being, the words, the fruit in his life, the love, the compassion, the wisdom. Peter was the one who said, "Yeah, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter was hearing some things. Good old Peter. He missed it a mile off many times, didn't he? The Lord even had to rebuke Satan through him. Proper missed it. But look at the revelation he was getting of his Messiah. Does this sound familiar? Does this give us hope, dear friends? And now, this is the glory of it. So, in confessing, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God, Jesus then said, "Blessed are you." Because there's no way you could have intellectually realised that. There was nothing in flesh and blood cannot reveal that to you. Something supernatural has happened. My Father has revealed that to you. And because you have confessed me, I'm now going to confess you. You are Peter, which means stone or rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. Not as the Roman Catholics say, Peter the first Pope, Peter the rock. On the foundation of the revelation, on the fact that you have just confessed me as Lord and Saviour. You have just confessed my Messiahship. It's upon your confession that Jesus is Christ is what this church is built on. It's the foundation Paul came along later and said in Ephesians 2 that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Not the man, not the ministry, you know, not the men that are the ministries, but the revelation of Christ that comes through their ministry and the subsequent confession of faith in response to that revelation. Do we have we kept up? Do you understand what that means? So, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself to the church through these ministries, and in response to that revelation, we confess. What happened to Elijah? If Baal be God, worship him. If Yahweh is God, worship him. And God answered by fire. And what did they all say? Yeah, Yahweh, the Lord, he is God. Yahweh God, Yahweh God. That's what they were saying. It's a response to revelation. That's our faith. That's our confession. And that is the revelation that will come through your words. Dear friends, when you witness, the church is to witness. When each one of us does what each one of us has been called to do, pray, fast, witness, overcome, just in your daily walk, your daily trials, as you're doing that, God will do the rest. God will present himself through your witness. He will do the speaking through your life, through your words, and in a response to that revelation, you hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven for that person. You will unlock the door and they will walk into eternal life through your word. Wonderful, isn't it? And he's saying, upon this rock, upon the revelation that I am the Christ, through your mouth, I will build my ecclesia, my called out ones. It's not an institution, not a building, not a system. A called out, an assembly of called out people, citizens of the kingdom, to proclaim the kingdom. And he says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? Hades is the place of departed spirits. Death and Hades will not prevail against it. Why? Let's have a look at some scriptures in this. How could he say such an amazing statement? Well, because he's the Lord. His resurrection. He defeated death. His death and resurrection defeated sin. 1 Corinthians 15, death has lost its sting for us. Revelation 1:18, I have the keys of death and Hades, Jesus said. Because of why? Because of my resurrection. I've now conquered death for you. I've now released those who were in Hades. They're now in the paradise of the resurrection. It's an intermediate state, right? So they're waiting for the resurrection unto eternal life. So Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. That's why Hades will not prevail against us. Praise God. Death has lost its sting for the Christian. Death will not prevail. Satan will attack, but he won't prevail. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, because Jesus is Lord, because of the resurrection, an established fact. And he is now giving us those keys. There's a lot to look at in terms of the keys. No way to even begin that tonight. But here's this message tonight then is, again, yet another foundational thing for the messages to come about what those keys are and about the authority that is given to the church through the apostles. Let's continue with what he said to Peter. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And here's the first clue what those keys are. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. It means shall have already been loose. Whatever we bind shall have already been loose, been bound, or whatever we loose shall have already been loose. That's also the prayer of agreement, isn't it? Matthew 18, verse 19. If two of you agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound. He says it again, exact same promise. What is that authority? Well, there's the key, isn't it? There's one of the keys. It's like what Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. exactly as the Father revealed his will, what is going on in heaven, so it is being outworked in our lives on earth as we yield to the Spirit. That authority to bind, what does that mean? We bind the activity of Satan. We bind evil spirits from doing harm. We bind sickness, we bind oppression, we bind evil in the name of Jesus. And we loose that individual. We loose God's saving mercies. We did it on a couple of Sundays ago, and we experienced it in a mighty way on Sundays. God's redemptive, and it's something we're learning, something we're going to continue. To bind Satan. To stop his evil works. To prevent. But we're going to need to know something about the authority that we have in the name of Jesus to do that. And that's the trials that we go through. We learn by experience in our overcoming, our daily life, our daily walk of overcoming. We learn by experience how to use that authority, what it's for. And we learn by experience that it's about doing his will. He's sending us in his name to represent him as ambassadors of his will, of his kingdom. That's why he's teaching obedience. It's the way he is. Praise God. The Lord is truly working that within us. In closing, let's have a look at one or two things in the book of Acts. And I'll leave it with this because there's a lot to take in. Peter was given the revelation. We just read it there, right? Peter was given that revelation. And he was told that I'm giving you the keys. And whatever he's given, whatever the Lord has given the apostles, he's given the church. Now, Peter had some things to learn. We obviously can't read it all, but in Acts 2 and 3, in Acts chapter 2 and 3, Peter was the first to use those keys. He opened the door for 3,000 souls in one, wasn't it? A number of thousand in the other. Praise God. 3,000 souls, it says, doesn't it, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And others, praise God. He opened the doors to those souls to the kingdom of heaven. He used those keys, he used that authority through the gospel message to let those souls into the kingdom of God. Now it begins to make sense when Jesus said in John 20 that I'm sending, as the Father sent me, so send I you. We read it in John chapter 20. Let's have a quick look there in verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And don't the Roman Catholics love that one with their confessional and the priest says, decides, yes, I'll forgive, or no, I won't, you need to do penance. That's not what he's talking about at all. He says, when you preach the gospel, their response will determine whether their sins are forgiven or whether they're still retained. That person will be bound in his sin by rejecting you, by rejecting your message, they're rejecting the Messiah, they're rejecting. When they see the gospel of your life, when they hear the gospel of your message, and they respond, their sins are forgiven. You can say then on that basis, praise the Lord, welcome to the kingdom. You need to know your sins are forgiven. You're not saying, because it's blasphemy, is God has forgiven your sins. Because you've turned, you've repented, you've believed the gospel, you now need, let me just encourage you, whatever the devil says to you in the days to come, your sins are forgiven. You are in the kingdom. You can say that. If somebody turns away scoffing, not in a revengeful way, but you can warn them. You can say, look, dear friend, you've not rejected me. You've rejected the one who sent me. You've rejected the message. You've rejected his kingdom. until you repent, you are still in your sins. If you die tonight, you will go into eternity in sin. You can warn them. That's what that means. And it's the authority God has given us. It's God that forgives, because your message would have been how God forgives through your faith in the blood of Jesus. That's the message. So you're not making yourself anything. It's the message that's everything. In Acts 5, when Peter pronounced that on Ananias and Sapphira, that was a key that was being used. That was a key that was being used. There's a lot more in this, so I'm not going to even try to start it tonight. Again, that's just a foundation. We're looking properly, looking thoroughly at the authority, the apostolic authority that God is working in the overcoming, in the overcomers, the body of Christ, in this assembly and others like it. We're starting properly that authority, that foundation, looking at what authority means. Because that is the basis of all that we're going to do and say in the name of Jesus. Not just a formula to try and get things done. And this is what God is working. You know you're being prepared for this, as I said, and I'll say it again in closing. The trials you're going through, are you getting the revelation of this? Are you seeing the cross at work in your life? Do you know in your experience that God's hand is cleansing, removing those things that are not of Christ? And if not, ask. You're hearing it tonight, it's an opportunity to ask. Don't say, oh yes I am, because you're desperate to, because that's how it should be. If you're not, now is a great time, Lord. Sorry, but I'm really not. I thought I was. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, please, whatever it takes, show me that. You know, I asked him that because I've read some books, The New Covenant Unveiled, and I thought, Lord, do I see it? Do I really see it? This is glory. This is great, you know. And you're destroying sin in my life, but I'm not sure. Lord, please, you show me. I don't want to do it because I've read it. Please show me the verse that guarantees I've understood the new covenant. And I felt so stupid when he did, because it's something we've been confessing and preaching and teaching and studying for 30, 40 years. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, meditate on that. If you want to know what the ultimate expression of the new covenant, that authority, it's Christ, not me living, but Christ living in me. How can it get any more ultimate than that? No longer I, but Christ. Isn't that what this is all about? And so, friends, get the revelation of that. Confess it. It will happen. And you may for a while regret that you started confessing, but stay with it, because that's only flesh dying. It's good for you, really, believe me, it's good for you. It's only flesh and self and pride that's being put to death. Because it's no longer you, but Christ. And you're now fellowshipping with him, you're now going through what he went through. And we can join in with our brothers and sisters in prayer. Make ourselves available to prayer, because some are going through deep and horrendous trials for their faith in the name of Jesus. They are going through the fires, friends, and we can be part of that in our prayers for them. So, praise the Lord. That is a foundation, that's an introduction for what's to come concerning the keys to the kingdom, the authority that we have in apostolic faith, and the correct use of the name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, God bless you, brethren. Thank you for your time and your attention. And if you have any questions, if there are things, praise God, well, we're available.
Well, praise God. We thank the Lord for that word. And our brother who has faithfully given the word to us tonight. The revelation is to be found in Jesus. And as we look to him and wait on him and take his word into our life and heart itself, and there is nothing like it, because that is what relationship is about. That is where our lives are changed, our lives conformed. That is where we're empowered, and that is where we're then sent by him, and not by ourselves or a good idea or something we do in the flesh or what the church does. It's an experience that comes by revelation, and that revelation, which is our authority, means that he is with us when we are sent. In other words, to be sent doesn't mean you go on your own. You go with Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And as our brother was preaching this evening, what I was quickened with, that when we are used and will be used in these times, as God is building his church and restoring us into the apostolic faith, as we go and are led by the Spirit, we are actually going with Christ in us. And all we do is simply yield over our tongue, our member, our whole being, and let Christ, who is in us, touch the people. Christ in us, who is our words, speak to the people. We're just vessels yielded over, emptied, filled with the Spirit of God. And the other thing that was quickened to me, the church too long today has seen too many people, too many who are presenting themselves in the disguise of Christ. And that is why there's no change. The world out there is desperate to see and know and to hear and to be touched by Christ. And that will only ever be done by souls who walk the way of the cross, yielded over to the Spirit, experiencing the kenosis experience, the self-emptying, so that we are filled with the fullness of God. Of his fullness have we received, as the word says. That is when we will begin to see people respond and the world change. And God is doing that. That's what really was quickened to me tonight through that very blessed word. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for that precious word, that seed that you have sown into our lives and our hearts. Father, we thank you for this. And Lord, also, we are very aware that to receive such a message like this, it doesn't just happen, but it happens because lives are committed to Christ. And the same as our brother is committed to you, and we know that it has cost him, and in time and prayer and intercession and trial and tribulation, to be able to impart to us a word like this tonight. And we know that messages like this don't come easy. It comes as a result of through trial and testing, waiting on God. And that's why we appreciate, Father, what we receive, because it is a cost. And so, Lord, thank you tonight for being with us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that the power in your word is changing our lives, conforming us into your image and likeness. And so, Lord, be with us through this week. Preserve and keep us, we ask, till again we assemble again. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. My home.